Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for joining us in conversation about what God's love looks like in action. In John 13:35, Jesus says that everyone will know that we belong to Him by the way we love one another. We are His representatives, and 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a detailed description of God's love that we can use to evaluate our actions of love and learn to grow in love. So join in the conversation as we explore the evidence of how God's love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8 says, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Now, Janie, this seems like an unachievable task.
Well, and I think you have discerned properly, because it is impossible to live life that way unless it is lived through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do have a desire to be loved, and we have a desire to show love. But the way that it sometimes tells me that the way I'm going to begin to show love is by bearing with one another, it doesn't sound real enticing, does it?
No, and it sounds very difficult, because it's all done through Jesus Christ. But many times, I don't think we know how to live in Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm going to throw something at you that's probably a bit off in left field, but let's try it, okay?
Okay.
With your children, you have had them obviously since birth to today.
Yeah.
You haven't farmed them out to anybody. And they have grown, haven't they?
Oh, yes.
Now, in helping them grow, did you keep a record of how the cells were dividing in their body?
No.
Did you keep a log or personal evaluation of if all their organs were functioning properly?
No.
Did you really do anything to help them grow?
Other than feeding them?
Which was probably maybe a very joyful task. So what I want to get at is that we grow without having a conscious effort of knowing how we are growing. And that's what happens in the family of God. You grew your children. You knew one day that they were an inch taller and they had to have a larger pair of shoes, and you were a part of it, but you were not fixing it yourself. It was happening in spite of you.
Well, and you know, as I fed them, they grew. And so as we take that to the spiritual aspect, as we feed on the Word of God, we will naturally grow, right?
Well, that's what the Scripture appears to say,
okay,
provided that we keep our heart right. We've got to probably say that every time we get behind these mics.
That is so true, because we can read the Scriptures and not apply any of it, and then...
And as it says in the first part of 1 Corinthians 13, it benefits you nothing. You are
right.
Like a sounding, clanging
brass
cymbal.
Yeah.
Yes. But I think what we need to look at in a comparison today is that we cannot learn how to grow in love, agape love, from a textbook.
Okay, right.
We can't use our minds intellectually and gain love as a reality in our lives.
Right.
In other words, we just can't get head smart on love.
Right.
And we cannot force it in our own strength, no matter how hard we try.
Right. Okay.
Now, why can't we do it that way, Sharon?
Because the love we're talking about is God's love. And the Bible says God is love. So it's the very essence of who God is.
So we really can't manufacture love on our own, no matter how great the need is,
mm-hmm,
no matter how sincere our desire is. And we know for as long as there's been music, there's songs written about people needing love.
Well, and if we look at love as we've been talking about the love word that we apply so many definitions to, is not the love that we're talking about. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about the love of the Lord and how we can apply and grow in God's love as believers. Extending that love, love in action, what it looks like when we're not walking in love. And so this is a completely different love than our own emotions, our own definitions, our own feelings, our own extension of love.
So with that in mind, I find that in this chapter that we're in today, especially in verse 7, where you had read, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures, these are still learning tools, even though they're also solutions on how we can discern what love is from the Lord. So okay. He lets us learn how to bear all things.
Okay.
So when you start to bear all things, that root word in the Greek means to cover with silence or to suppress.
All right.
So from an early age, the Lord is growing us, and He allows circumstances in our life that we have to make a choice on whether we're going to bear them, learn from them, or whether we're going to reject the lessons. We're always learning. We're always growing, and that needs to be the thought today.
Okay.
So
there's always a lesson to learn in growth in love.
Yes.
And we may not even realize it's love. Is that what you're saying? That we may not even realize that we're bearing all things when we grow in this?
No, I don't think we'll realize it. It's one of those things that you can have hindsight to.
Okay.
Some things I encountered decades ago was really on the schoolyard, where maybe some girls would get together and talk bad about one another, and you had to either react or you had to bear with what was being done that was not pleasing to you.
Okay.
In the family environment, siblings learn what the consequences are when they tattle on one another. Now, you may be more experienced in that than I, but I know parents just say, I'm not listening to you because you're tattling on your sister,
right. And
that's wrong to tattle on her. That's not love. That's not what we do. So you have to learn how to bear your injustices, even as a child.
So bearing all things is really like situations and circumstances, whether that comes from a person or things beyond our control, then bearing and enduring those things is what helps build us.
Yes, and it's a sign of agape love because it is not the natural man that is going to bear things. We like to retaliate. We like to have vengeance.
Okay.
We need to make the wrongs right. And so when to know to keep your mouth shut, because you could lash out. But instead, you cover, you suppress.
So basically, like what we deal with in, we'll just go to churches right now, in our body of Christ, in our family of God, what we're doing is we're exposing each other's sins, so to speak, on, oh, so-and-so, you know what she did to me, you know what such-and-such did to me, and guess what they did, and I heard about them in the community, and blah, 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 blah. So we're engaging in gossip and tearing down our brothers and sisters in Christ rather than covering and bearing with them the burden of their sin.
Well, and I tell you what, we have a beautiful historical example in the book of Corinthians.
Okay.
They did not know what love was because they talked bad about everybody inside and outside the church. And if somebody offended them, brother in Christ, they'd drag them into court.
Oh, okay.
They would not bear with them, and they would sue them publicly before a pagan judge.
Okay.
Real love doesn't do that. Real love will seek to resolve the conflict.
Okay.
You may have a small little group that will hear and entertain the decisions. And this is church discipline, Sharon. If it gets to the point to where you cannot forgive openly and freely, then you get some pastors together or people in leadership, let them hear the evidence, and then they make a discernment. And we should never be taking our issues to a public pagan society when in the body of Christ we should be able to resolve those internally.
Okay.
And the Corinthian church wouldn't do that.
Okay, I'm seeing now.
So
okay.
Paul had to reprove them on that. And then let me tell you one more. In a marriage, have you ever known a couple that do nothing but bicker and bite in conversation about one another? You'll go out
call
and they'll
each other be, names and
yes, and, yeah. and just be irritable or be using sarcasm mm-hmm. or doing innuendos to put one of the spouses down when really, in fact, they're tearing themselves down by being derogatory.
Right.
And again, that can go into such
well,
a...
Well, and I've heard parents do that with their kids.
Yes.
Oh, it just breaks my heart to hear a parent just put their child down.
Well, Sharon, whether it's putting your child down, whether it is speaking derogatory of someone to vaunt yourself up while diminishing their character or their worth.
Right.
We need to recognize that there is a fabulous verse in James 3:2, and it says, "We all stumble and offend in many things, especially with our words." Mm. So when I want to be instinctively negative or have my reputation challenged or scrutinized,
come to your own defense.
Yes, yes. Then I just remember, hey, I've stumbled. They're stumbling.
Yeah.
We all tumble and stumble.
Right.
Especially with our words.
So hold your tongue.
Yes. Be swift to hear and slow to speak.
Yeah.
And then in James 3, going on in that chapter, it's a really good chapter to compare with 1 Corinthians 13, because in verses 13 to 18, it really goes in and gives you some amplification about what is the outcome when we envy, when we are self-seeking, and when we boast to others. And Sharon, do you remember the root word for boasting from a lesson we had a week or two ago?
Was it windbag?
Yes. Yes. Hot air.
Yeah.
Hot air. So James 3 is a good chapter to read and study in relationship to 1 Corinthians 13, because it does tell us what the solutions are.
And we, as Christians, we should always remember Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're not above anyone else.
And we are not in a position to rate sins.
That's right.
Okay. And then 1 Peter 4:8, let's don't ever forget this verse, "For love shall cover a multitude of sins."
Okay.
And that's what bearing does. It covers, it suppresses, it doesn't go out and amplify and make public the shortcomings of someone.
Right.
And you know what? That's also an attack on how God is maturing someone. We
right.
do not know his sanctifying process in anybody's life.
You know, Janie, I've heard people say, "I don't mean to talk about somebody, but I just need to vent about this situation." This venting kind of attitude seems to be a cushy word for gossip.
And murmuring and complaining.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if I am upset, if I am attacked, if I don't like what things are going on and I feel bad, one of the greatest ways physically, not spiritually, is if I can go complain about somebody else or murmur, because if I see their weaknesses, it makes me feel better about where I am.
But you know, Janie, in some aspects, it doesn't make us feel better. I mean, if it's a wrong that we're venting about, all it does is pick at that wound and keep it bleeding. It doesn't make us feel better. we just continually talk about an issue rather than looking to the Lord for a resolution.
That is very true. But remember, feelings and emotions can be very deceptive. And if I can, how many times have you heard, Sharon, I just had to get it off my chest?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about, this venting thing.
Well, it must give some satisfaction, or Sharon, we wouldn't have so much of it.
Okay. I see that in our thinking, it gives us satisfaction. I mean, but in all reality, doesn't make us better.
You just gave the missing link in reality.
Yeah.
In reality, our emotions are not going to be controlling us. But when our emotions have to feel good the way we think we need to feel good, then we will vent, we will tear one person down to build another person.
But Janie, if I come to you to vent about something, that does not help it get off my chest. Because then I will turn around, get on the phone, and call somebody else and tell them the same thing and then say, oh, I just needed to get it off my chest. It's not really getting it off my chest.
And usually some of the consequences may include not being able to have sweet sleep.
Yeah.
Some of the other consequences may be that you find some people pull back from you because they don't want to listen to your complaining,
venting.
And venting, murmuring and complaining.
Right, right.
And so the Lord knows that He has given us those restrictions so that we can truly be joyous and happy in life, but it does go against our natural man,
right?
Or our natural being,
right?
Our natural person.
And so those venting, all we're doing is picking at a scab. And what we need to do is cover it with a Band-Aid.
Cover. Cover.
Right?
Cover.
It needs to be covered.
With a little
care and love.
And a little antibiotic cream,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, well, all right. So we just know that everybody offends on many different times. That's why James tells us in James 1, have joy at the various trials. And you think that makes no sense at all.
Uh-huh.
But he knows that he's teaching us. It's
right.
What we're learning today. He's teaching us in all of our trials on how to bear with agape love.
Right.
And now the next one is how to believe with agape love.
Okay.
And agape love doesn't just say, I believe, just because it's heard something. It may have heard some of that venting.
Oh, okay.
And it's not going to be true, or they're not going to entertain it.
Right.
What this really means when you believe, it means that you want to believe the best about a person.
Okay.
And that's sometimes hard to do when you've maybe looked at attitudes and actions
mm-hmm.
over a period of time. It's hard to keep your hope alive, which is the next one, about being positive towards a person. But agape love always looks for the best.
So even though we hear maybe some of those ventings, we look at where that person may be blind and the things that they're going through with the Lord to grow in love.
Absolutely.
And so there's a bigger picture, and we have to look beyond what's happening right now in this moment.
Well, and we don't ignore or grow indifferent, like if you have an unbelieving spouse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we don't just believe that that's a lost cause. Or if we even are in the company of maybe some disciples or believers that are not walking with the Lord, we still hope for the best. We still believe in the best. And you know why? Because God says all things are possible through the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So let me give you an example. A believing heart recognizes that there was a family member that once walked with the Lord and now they've departed and gone back into the world. Paul had great pain when Demas, after having been a very loyal fellow worker, departed and went back to the world. It caused him great pain.
Right.
But still believing and hoping.
Okay.
And I put it believing and hoping. There's small differences, but I put them almost together. Believe and hope.
Because you almost have to have hope to believe, and then you almost have to believe to hope, right?
Exactly. Well, and a believing heart may be shut up to just being a faithful prayer warrior for that person.
Okay, right.
They just don't give up. I know of wayward children. I know of old parents set in their ways that still reject Jesus Christ, but their children now are devout followers of Jesus Christ.
Or they hold grudges on things that have happened.
We could do a whole show on grudges.
Yeah.
So we have to see that a believing love from agape is going to not give up on what looks like impossible odds.
Okay.
All right? And then look at Job. Job had friends that came to comfort him.
Mm, yeah.
And then wound up criticizing him.
Right.
So,
And we always tease about, you know, if you had friends like Job's, who needs enemies?
Who needs enemies, that's right. But Job said, "Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagine against me." In other words, Job was saying, "I've had it with you guys. You think all my problems are from sin and evil in me." Well, a believing heart would say, "Job, you're scraping boils and sitting here in the trash heap. There's something God's wanting to do in your life, and we need to stand with you and ask the Lord if there's any hidden things that he wants to show, or if he's allowing Job to suffer, not because of Job, but because Job was suffering for us today, so that we would be able to look back at him and see how he grew in his relationship and his trials and his testings and his loss, because the Lord allowed a very extreme situation in Job.
And we have to look at that for ourselves, you know, just like you said about the trials and tribulations, bearing in those things are a witness to other people that are around us as we go through them, if we bear them in the love of Christ.
And you know, to bear, you still need to have hope. You still need to trust. But most of all, you need to endure.
Oh, what's that mean, to endure?
Well,
because that sounds like a serious word.
It is a serious word, and I'm going to give you probably two examples, Sharon. One was Stephen when he was being stoned to death.
Okay.
He had to endure as his life was being crushed out of him, and his words were, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." That's Acts 7:60. He knew they were ignorant, blind, and deceived. He understood and could still have a will to choose to love with God's love. And then the supreme perfect example was the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. While they spit on him, he simply endured, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Oh, Janie, if we could just do that every time somebody offends us, hurts our feelings. Goodness, what an example.
Well, I tell you what, this enduring love will in no way come easily or naturally. A walk lived by the power of the Spirit will need to prepare for the day of testing and persecution. And so now we have the privilege of having 1 Corinthians 13 give us a guideline, almost like what you could say, a manual, in knowing how, under any circumstance or situation, that we can call upon what the Lord has told us to walk with his love in everything he allows us to go through.
Right.
We don't blame him. We don't reject him. We don't walk away. We see his love even when we don't understand how it's working out at the moment.
That's because his love never fails. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.